Job 28, as we find ourselves in the middle of this longer monologue by Job as he has interacted with his quote-unquote friends. I used this phrase last time and some people chuckled, but this is probably the appropriate use of the modern-day word frenemy, where these friends come alongside and yet they have a point to make. And they have a direction that they expect Job to go, which is not necessarily the biblical direction, the godly direction. It is also, as we saw last time, the point in the unfolding of Job, where Job finally begins to get his feet underneath himself, even if it's just a bit, to be able to stand, as it were, on God's promises and on the hope of God's word. And we see this particularly in this chapter as Job begins to wax poetic, or we might even say as he waxes proverbial, as we hear the Proverbs echoing through Job's thoughts in this chapter. But Job waxes on about wisdom. That is our topic this afternoon: its value, its source, and man's inability to attain it on his own. That we cannot find, understand, or apply the wisdom of God without the working of the Spirit of God. I might ask, What would be a definition of wisdom? Someone have a definition of wisdom? One that maybe you operate off of in your home? Wisdom is, do what mama says, right? You've heard that old adage, knowledge is understanding that a tomato is a fruit. You heard this? Wisdom is knowing that it doesn't go in fruit salad. There's a difference between knowledge and wisdom, isn't there? In fact, you've probably met people who are full of knowledge and yet do not have one wise bone in their body. Wisdom is that good and godly application of knowledge in life. Let me read the chapter for us, and then we will look at our three things that we want to draw from it. Job 28, hear the word of our God. Surely there is a mine for the silver, and a place where they refine gold. Iron is taken out of the earth, and copper is smelted from the ore. Man puts an end to darkness and searches every extremity for ore in the darkness and the shadow of death. He breaks open a shaft away from the inhabitants in places forgotten by feet. They hang far away from men and they totter. As for the earth, from it comes bread. And underneath it is turned up as by fire. Its stones are the source of sapphires, and it has dust of gold. There is a path that no bird knows, and that the vulture's eye has not seen. The lion cubs have not trodden it, nor has the fierce lion passed by it. He puts forth his hand upon the rock. He overturns the mountains by the roots. He cuts out rivers among the rocks, and his eye sees every precious thing. He prevents the floods from overflowing, and the thing that is hidden he brings forth to light. But where will wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man does not know its price, nor is it found in the land of the living. The depth says, it is not in me. And the sea says, it is not with me. It cannot be bought for gold, nor can silver be weighed for its price. It cannot be valued in the gold of Ophir with the precious onyx or the sapphire. The gold and the crystal cannot equal it, and it cannot be exchanged for jewels of fine gold. No mention will be made of coral or of pearls, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia will not equal it, nor will it be valued with pure gold. From where then does wisdom come? And where is the place of understanding? It is hidden from the eyes of all living and concealed from the birds of the air. Destruction and death say, "We have heard of its fame with our ears." God understands its way, and he knows its place. For he looks to the ends of the earth and sees under the whole heaven, to make the weight of the wind, and he weighs the waters by measure. When he made a decree for the rain and a path for the lightning of the thunder, then he saw it and declared it. He prepared it, yes, and searched it out. To man he said, "Look, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding." The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. John Wilkie, one of the elders in the Sterling RP congregation, tells the story of his great-grandfather who left Philadelphia and walked behind a wagon train to San Francisco, California, to begin mining for gold. It was the gold rush, and he wanted to get in on it. And so he made his way up into the Sierra Nevadas and worked for quite some time. And, great stories of deciding to head back into the city and being told by another group that there were bandits coming down another side trail. And so they raced the bandits down to the fork in the road and were able to beat them back to the city and spent some time in San Francisco, had part of the gold made into a ring in faith for his future wife. John's cousin still wears that ring to this day. And they made their way by ship from San Francisco around South America and up to Key West. And there some natives met them and began feeding them oranges. And John's great-grandfather noticed that some of those eating fruit were beginning to keel over. And so he thought, well, maybe this isn't hospitality after all. Maybe this is their way of making wealth off of our gold. And so finally made his way home. Hadn't shaved since the day he left. His mother didn't recognize him. And they were part of the families that started making their way west again to Iowa and then on to Kansas. We've seen in various times in history man's ability to mine from the earth great wealth and riches. In fact, that's the first thing that we see in this first section of this chapter in verses 1 through 11. We see man's ventures and superiority in seeking. That man can dig up from the earth so much, and not just work with what he finds, but to refine it and make it into something even more valuable and even more worthwhile. And throughout the ages, the names of those who find these processes are etched in the history books, who take an industry and perhaps they revolutionize it. And because they are able to take something that is known and branch out into what seems unknowable and do more with it and make things even more valuable. In fact, Silicon Valley is known for taking sand and doing such things with it. Taking what seems worthless and turning it into great value. The progress of man's ventures throughout history. This seems almost unstoppable. Seems like, well, what else could we do? What else could we accomplish? And it seems like whatever we seek out, we eventually are able to find. At least that's how Job sets it up. In fact, he even kind of points back to Genesis again and the superiority of man in the created order. That we are not just the most recent evolution of the animal life and culture, but we are the pinnacle creation made specifically to rule over and to subdue the created order. And think of this as the Western world began exploring South America and Africa. They found great mines and they found wonderful animals. But I can tell you what they never found were animals working those mines. They might find gorillas and they might find diamonds, but they never found gorillas with diamonds. They might find gold and they might find beautiful horses, but they never found horses of their own accord wearing and mining and refining that gold. The animals are all over the created order, but they would lay down in gold coins and not think anything of it. Man is superior in his seeking, in his hunger for wealth and technology and development and growth. And yet, there seems to be a certain limit. This limit we find in Proverbs 14 when it says, a scorner seeks wisdom and does not find it. But knowledge is easy to him who understands. Perhaps you have been that one, wanting answers, in a sense, demanding answers from God. But God knows your heart and knows that when you get those answers, you will use it to mock him and scorn him and hate him. Therefore, you cannot find the answers that you seek for. It seems so easy to those around you. They're worshiping Jesus. They are coming to the table. They are singing his praise. And yet for you, you cannot find what you are looking for. Perhaps you seek with a scorner's heart. Perhaps you seek for your own ends rather than the end of the glory of the Lord. Proverbs begin with this admonition that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. If there was ever a theme verse that homeschoolers turn to, if I've seen one verse printed on the back of homeschool t-shirts more than any other, it's Proverbs 1:7. Man's ventures and superiority in seeking. And yet in all that we can do and in all that we can accomplish, there seems to be a limit. There seems to be a stopping point. There seems to be a place that we can't get to. And it is that very lap of wisdom. So secondly, we see wisdom's value and superiority in hiding from us. But where will wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man does not know its price, nor is it found in the land of the living. The depth says, it is not in me. And the sea says, it is not with me. It cannot be bought for gold, nor can silver be weighed for its price. Have you ever met one of those people, those older godly saints that you could just sit with and talk to and hear them speak for hours on end? And you just want to ask, how did you get so wise? Never will you hear, well, they were running a special down at the corner store and I was able to pick up some wisdom. It wasn't that expensive, really, with the sale they were running. That's never the answer you hear. Proverbs 16:16 says, how much better to get wisdom than gold. And to get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. The world wants to put a price on everything. Everything is for sale, it seems. In fact, on one of their weekend game shows, NPR had a guest whose job it is, she is a professional bridesmaid. You can rent her for the day for people who have no friends and yet want somebody to stand up there with them, help handle the stress of the day. She calls it on-call therapist is what she calls it. And now she helps coordinate and she can, through her, you can rent an entire bridal party. Everything has its price. Everything can be bought, it seems. But wisdom cannot be. I love the personification in this passage. Destruction and death. There's nothing more famous than destruction and death. Everybody's heard of those guys. D&D. They run around together. They wreak all kinds of havoc. Everybody's afraid of them. They're the bullies. And they say, we have heard of its fame with our ears. You know, we'd like to meet wisdom someday. From what we understand, they're pretty famous. They're pretty famous. Wisdom has an intrinsic value that cannot be weighed. And it hides from those who do not have the heart for it. And almost anything of earthly value in Job's time was listed here. Everything, you know, typical, think of the animals, think of the lands. These are the things that go above and beyond. I mean, you know, coral and sapphire and onyx and pearls and rubies, all of these things, none of them can buy wisdom for the human heart. So where do we get it? Where can wisdom be found? Where is the place of understanding? Where can we go? Especially what encouragement is it when it's not found in the land of the living? It's not where any of us are. How do we get there? Well, thirdly, we see that only the Lord gives wisdom. Verse 23, God understands its way, and he knows its place. That's kind of a that's it kind of moment. What more do you say? God knows. He knows where it is. He knows the way of wisdom. And how does God know it? Well, because he decreed it, he ordained it, he declared it the same way that he did for the wind and the waters and the rain and the lightning and the thunder. He has made wisdom. He has declared it. And he says to us, look, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And just as we have seen in Titus, there is then a sanctifying that comes, and to depart from evil is understanding. Now this is the same impassioned declaration and command of Proverbs 4, where in verse 5 it says, get wisdom, get understanding, do not forget it, nor turn away from the words of my mouth. In verse 7, it says, wisdom is principle. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all your getting, get understanding. Do you ever go to the store, especially when you're being sent by your spouse? You go to the store and you come back and they say, well, where's the, and it's always that one, that the very reason you started having to go to the store. Well, where's the milk? The milk. Yeah. The one reason I sent you to the store above all others was to get milk. Where is the milk? Oh, I got distracted by the avocados. Why were you looking at avocados? I don't know. They were really green. They're in the completely opposite end of the store from the milk. But friends, this is what happens in life. And God is telling us, get wisdom. And what is wisdom? Wisdom is the fear of the Lord. That holy, honoring respect of the one who made you and sustained you. And will ultimately take you to be with him. That is what we are to get. I love how verse 7 of Proverbs 4 says, and with all your getting, get understanding. Proverbs 3 speaks to the experiential. Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gets understanding. Oh, I thought Christians weren't supposed to be happy. I thought they were supposed to be joyful. Yeah, it's ridiculous. There's no difference. It's the same thing. It speaks to what is the reason for your happiness, for your joy. When you find wisdom, you know you have found a good thing. And Proverbs 9 echoes Proverbs 1. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Young people, do you desire to be wise? Kids, do you want to be wise? Trust me, you don't want to be foolish. You don't want to be dumb. Know the Lord. Seek after the Holy One taught to us in scriptures, communicated about to us through the confession, asked about in our catechisms. Get to know Him. Know Him with all of your getting. Go get the degree, get the job, get the spouse, get the kids, get the house. Get, but with all you're getting, get wisdom above all else. All of that becomes meaningless without wisdom. And yet just the slightest possession becomes great wealth with wisdom. Seek after wisdom, knowing that it is only found in the Lord. And think of Job's context. Think of how he is finding wisdom. He's a counselor. He has sought to spread the wisdom of God amongst others, but now he is discovering it for himself. Those older saints who are so wise, who know so much about how to have an even keel, and trust the Lord, and walk after him no matter what. Don't ask them how they got to be so wise, because you, in your place in life, don't want to know. You don't want to know what difficult providence might come your way that will make you wise, that will make you more faith-filled, that will make you more like your Savior Christ, that will make you more even-keeled. I tell you, the people that I've met that are even-keeled, there's been at least once in their life, their keel has been straight up. And they didn't know when the storm was going to stop or how the ship would be righted. But through it, Christ taught them how to trust him. He taught them how to be wise. With all you're getting, get wisdom. Wisdom is of great value. God is its only source. And friends, we are completely unable to attain to it on our own. So let us turn to Christ. Let us hope in him. Let us fear the Lord, knowing that that is the beginning of wisdom. Stand with me as I pray.